Okay, so tonight we are starting a new, a new session, a new game. It's going to be based on the Indiana Jones by TSR role-playing game, slightly modified to fit our noir crime vigilante dark crime sort of campaign that we've got going on here. And my cast of characters, looking down on the Roll 20 tabletop there, right after my name, go.
That's me. Hi, I'm John. Been playing for a while, and actually I'm on another podcast, but I'm going to step on, you know, Bert's podcast and mention, you know, the Sunday Skypers. anything else you want to talk about?
What character are you playing? Give us his name and just a very short description of what he is.
I'm playing Louis Lamont, a prize fighter. He's also a mechanic, works at an auto shop. And he decided to become the boxer. I'm the boxer. I'm going to beat you to a pulp.
All right. Next on the list.
Hi, I'm Todd, and I'm also a Skyper, and I'm playing Randall Sage, son of a gambler who tried to do good in school, but through extreme bad luck, his fiance took a bullet meant for him, and now he's out for revenge. So after leaving school, he became a private investigator for select clientele.
Nice. And last but certainly not least.
Okay. Well, my name is Kim, and I am playing Lancia, who is a car thief who stole basically the wrong car and caught people in a very compromising position in said car. So that's how she kind of avoided jail and went to the light side for now. I have another group, but it's in person, so...
Live groups don't count. All right, so we are going to get started here. We are fictionally somewhere between the 1920s to as late as the 1950s. We're not going to set this in any particular time. We're going to there are going to be some anachronisms here and there, and this takes place in the city, a sprawling metropolis that has its more than fair share of problems. So the scene's going to open it up. I'm going to reveal a picture on the screen here. Everybody's in Roll 20. You guys are witnessing a funeral today. It is mid-afternoon.
It's over there. Okay, I got to scroll the screen over.
Top right. Mid-afternoon. It's a rainy, dreary day. Just a little cool. It is has a sparse turnout. There are a few officers, very few, in dress blue. It's a very somber occasion as the priest is committing the body back to the earth. It's a motley collection of people. Some look like they might have more than the average amount of wealth, well-cut suits tailored. Some you see low look like second, third generation hand-down clothes. Everyone is paying the respects kind of silently. It doesn't seem like the group of people assembled here really know one another. They know the three coffins that are being interred into the ground. They may all have shared a bond of some sort with one of these people, but not with each other. You all find yourselves here as well. And I'm going to go around and ask you a few questions. At this point, none of you know each other. Okay? So we're going to go in reverse order here. I'm going to start with Kim.
Okay.
There are three people being buried today. It is Joseph and Deanna Lamont, and there's their 10-year-old child, Samantha. What did they mean to you, and why does it require revenge?
Oh, okay. And this was the wealthy family?
That's yet to be determined.
Oh, okay.
Some of the onlookers are well healed,
but not all.
Yeah, and the wealthy family was Dawson's and the, who else?
Mungers.
That's
Mungers,
right,
yeah.
So, revenge.
I'll start with the first question. What did they mean to you? Could be one or of the family, or could have been the whole family.
Well, my mom used to work for them, and they were amazing people. And basically, they ended up firing her, and she ended up turning to prostitution. And I blame them for that.
Ooh, okay.
So eventually, she was murdered by a John, and had not been so unkind to her, that she would not have had the resort to prostitution in the first place.
Okay. All right. And next, Todd, what did they mean to your character, and why do they need revenge?
What is the name of the wife again?
Deanna.
Deanna. I knew her in college, but she was in a class ahead of mine, but still, we had a chance to talk and stuff like that. When she got married and went off and had her family and all that, I'm probably getting the timeline wrong, but she wanted me to be a client for her because she had information that she wanted to give me. And obviously, I'm here too late.
Okay, very nice. And John?
Well, I mean, last name Lamont, they're family. I'd say they're second cousins on my dad's side. But, you know, hey, look where I am right now. You know, but they're still, they're family. You know, they did well, and but unfortunately, they second cousins doesn't necessarily mean they're going to help out their own second cousins. So, but still, family ties run deep. So yeah, someone killed.
Why they need to be avenged? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh no! What you said is perfectly fine. So you took it on you took it to mean that you wanted revenge on them for something, which is that works fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah, I have not slept.
Yes. No, okay. You're good. You're good. John, where is your character in relation to the crowd? Are you in and amongst the crowd, or are you on the outskirts looking in?
Because I am related. I'm actually up probably in the second row back.
Okay, give me an instinct roll.
All right. I'm not going to say something I'm writing right now in my own notes. All right. Instinct is 64. 97. I have no clue.
You are caught up in memories.
Yeah.
The few that you have about the family, so you're not being terribly observant today. All right. And I should be using your character names. Randall Sage, where are you in location to this this occasion? Are you in amongst the crowd, or are you off to the side?
I am leaning against a tree, watching the whole thing, trying to figure out what went wrong and anybody that's acting abnormal.
Okay.
Got the collar turned up against the rain.
Give me an instinct roll and treat it as double your score. Easily make it. With the motley collection of people wishing the departed well on their next journey here, you're taking a look around, and there are a few people parked but not part of this congregation. There's one guy leaning on a boxy Duesenberg. You know, you can kind of tell it even from this distance that it's had some work done. It's kind of riding low on its tires, like it's got a lot more weight to it than it should. The guy leaning on the outside, smoking a cigarette, paying very little attention to the funeral, keeps looking down at his watch every now and then. There's one guy inside. Can't really make him out. Looks like the guy that's outside is the driver. Kind of stand out because kind of flashy dressing, Yeah, on the outside, it's got this pinstripe suit that's fairly bright colors, kind of like a dark purple, shimmers a little bit in the sun. It doesn't seem to mind the rain coming down on him. He's got a wide-brimmed hat that's keeping it off the cigarette. Seems to be all that he really cares about. It's the only detail that looks a little out of the ordinary to you. Lancia, are you part of the crowd or are you observing? Where are you in relation to the crowd?
As far to the front I can get without it being reserved for family, so I want to make sure they're really dead.
There's a couple of newspaper folks that are just outside, so, you know, politely away, but still being observant. Actually, it's a pretty small turnout, you're thinking. The family, while really wasn't rich, he was a prominent lawyer. You figure it would make more headlines than just a couple of local rags that are guys here just taking notes, not paying an awful lot of attention. So you're in amongst them. Go ahead and give me an instinct roll as well at normal. Mm. And is that less than or equal to your instinct?
My instinct's 79, so it is less.
It is less. Okay. Having a finely honed instinct for things that just don't seem right. It's kept you alive quite often in your line of work that you engage in. You also note the heavy laden Duesenberg with the brightly robed guy in the front. You can tell also, since you're you deal with cars in one way or another, that excess weight is from armor plating. You're fairly sure that whoever that car belongs to is someone that anticipates being under gunfire. You're more than willing to put money that it's one of the, well, the new crime boss that has been in the papers lately.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Worries you slightly. This guy was a lawyer. You certainly have reason to hate the family. You're wondering who else might have hated the family.
Yeah, probably plenty of people.
One of the newspaper guys kind of notices that you're standing there. How are you dressed?
Actually, I think, you know, just standard funeral attire for those days. Just a nice, I guess it'd be black. Nice black dress back then.
Yeah.
Man offers you a cigarette and a light. Says, did you know the family? I heard the whole family got gunned down in their house last night.
Quick funeral. I didn't know them very well.
Hmm. Any relation?
Oh, yeah. We just were friends of the family for a long time. That's all.
Friends of the family. So, got any particular insight? Was the lawyer man there working on any hot cases that would get him pumped full of hot lead like this? Oh, hey, yeah, I'm sorry. No offense, man.
Well, probably he didn't really talk about it a lot. It's kind of
right, office. Let's cut there. Louis Lamont, yes, you were thinking to yourself, yeah, that is awfully fast to be put in the ground.
Yeah. I'm going, normally doesn't someone like the corner look at him or something like that?
So you aren't privy to the conversation that's going on between Lancia and the newspaper men, but you do know the timeline. Yeah, they were, they died last night. You don't know how they died, but to be put in the ground this fast?
Yeah, without a proper, you know, isn't that lawyer, actually, because of my trivial knowledge. Without a proper coroner's inquest? You know, I mean, yeah, I would expect something like next week if they were killed last night. Or at least later this week.
Doesn't even leave time for family to gather.
Yeah.
Awfully fast is what you're thinking.
I think the only reason I'm here is because I got a phone call from another cousin about this, and he said he couldn't make it, so could you make it?
Hey, yeah, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Pay respects for that end of the family.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
That would also explain the pretty weak turnout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which makes everyone suspicious. So how did they all know?
So the caskets are all lowered in. Surviving family take a bit of dirt, pitch it on top. Mm-hmm. And it's all kind of winding down. Some of the officers, actually there are five officers in dress blues. That's also interesting. While the man was a lawyer, he certainly wasn't an officer.
Those and he certainly wasn't a city attorney, was he? No.
Private lawyer. All five of them come to the head of the caskets as they're lowered. They all salute and hold it. Very ramrod straight, very officious as they pay homage until all three caskets are lowered and then they break and they kind of file off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll talk with some of the cousins and so forth. And probably both sides of the family, her relatives and stuff like that, and commiserate and so forth. But yeah, I'm going to get out and catch the bus back to where I live.
You learn a couple of things mm-hmm. while talking with relatives. One, no one really knows how they died. Some opinions were that drive-by shooting. Guns were let off into their first mm-hmm. level house through their glass windows, got everybody while they were in a meal. Some say there was a fire at the house. It's tragic. They died of smoke inhalation. One story is that big lorry ran into the big, they've got their house. It's got a lot of glass. A large lorry truck just ran right through the living room into their dining room while they were having dinner. But nobody seems to know what the real story is. It's a closed casket funeral.
Yeah, I check my wallet and look at how much I got. And you know what? I might catch a cab and visit their house.
Okay. So those are your thoughts as you're...
Assume
that you've got... assume that everybody has enough cash on them for... Like, this is the beginning of the month before all the bills get paid. So if you're ever flush with cash, this is about the time when you are, right?
Yeah. Was it the rules for that is take roll a 1d10, mm-hmm. add in your... But because we are sort of... if the amount here you would roll for is appropriate, it's appropriate for the 30s.
Yeah, it's definitely. A d10 plus one for every 10 full points of instinct your character has. So if you guys want to do that, that'll tell you exactly how many dollars you have on you, right?
And numbers, add your number of skills. Since we all have two, we got at least plus two. And no, I don't have my appeal is not that high. So, and then multiply by 100. Huh. Why not? That's not hard. All right. 1d10 plus 2, that's the asterisk, right? Times 100. Nope, that's wrong.
Yeah, let me restate that since we're kind of getting used to the rules here. The figure is actually, it's a d10, and add the number of skills you have, and then one extra for every 10 full points of appeal over mm-hmm. 70. So the more attractive you are and the more charismatic you are, the more likely it is you have more money on you.
Yeah, so I actually have 600 because that screwed up. I forgot it's doing 2 times 100 plus 6. So I actually have $600.
All sure. Right. Okay, yep. And that's how much you have in your wallet. So we're going to
move over. What I have in my wallet is more like $10. the other is like, do I have a bank account? Probably not. I probably have it stuffed in a sock drawer or something like that.
Stuffed in a mason jar. Yeah. In a ditch out back in the auto yard.
No, Todd, I wasn't near me.
Todd, what are your feelings? Again, the funeral's breaking up a little bit. Deanna had... actually, she had made inquiries about trying to hire you for something, and you guys had made a meeting for last night, actually, at the local automat, which is always open 24 hours, serving the best food that a few coins can buy.
She never showed up,
She never showed up.
Mr. Lee was very worried about you.
So yeah, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking right now, I'm going to move a few trees closer. I want to get a better look at that thug in the purple suit.
Okay, so he's out by the street. So you're actually trying to get closer to the street.
Well, that's also where my car is parked.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Now, if I can make it look like I'm going to my car and checking him out without him noticing that I'm checking him out, we'll do that.
Sure. Give me an instinct check. It's going to be at half. You're just getting started in your profession. So.
Not close.
Not even close? Okay. Yeah. Man's definitely seen his share of action. You can, you know, he's got scars across knuckles of both hands. You can tell by his lopsided, you know, one jawline's a little bit off than the other. He's probably taken some blows to the face repeatedly.
His nose probably has some character.
Yeah. That suit that he's wearing is more than you make in a month.
Yeah, I figured that as much.
As you're walking by, you can definitely tell yourself now that you're closer to the car that what's weighing it down and why it's riding so low to the ground is it's got a little extra weight from armored plating. It's been installed on the doors, the hood, the back.
Because we're both driving black Duesenbergs. I don't think we're going to get them confused.
No.
But I will memorize his license plate number just in case that comes up.
Sure. What is your instinct score?
Mine is a 40.
Yeah, no problem. You've got a pretty good memory. You might want to write it down when you get back to the office, but you'll remember it till then.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I have in my suit pocket a notepad and a pencil. So, and in general, I'm just, when I get to the car, I'm just going to sit there. You said it was a little bit rainy because I noticed the umbrellas. Mm-hmm. So, in between, like, you know, the swoosh of the windshield wipers, I'm like just watching everyone as they leave, see how they group up, just try to get a feel for these people and see if there's anyone that I actually recognize, because there might be a friend from college as well.
Give me just an open-ended D100 roll. And something else you notice as you're climbing into your car and you sit down behind the steering wheel, you look over to the passenger side, and there is a manila folder sitting in the passenger seat.
Well, I'll try not to jump like a snake bit me. The roll was not impressive.
Yeah, so no one you really recognize much. You recognize a couple of the reporters. They're small time. There's no one here from any of the major papers. These guys are like,
they're ghouls.
The variety rags.
They write all the obits.
Yeah, pretty much. And you really expected more. The guy was, how to put it? You could afford him if he was interested in your case. And it didn't matter how much money you really had. If he was interested in your case, he would take it. He was a damn good lawyer.
Oh, see, he's one of those early pro bono lawyers.
Well, if pro bono is a pretty strong word there. Affordable, it might be a better one. We'll take a look at that envelope. Any handwriting on the outside?
There's not. The envelope has a series of black and white photos taken of the family from discrete locations. Like, it looks like someone had been following the family, taking shots. See babysitter out with the child with the two adults in the background having a picnic. You see them strolling down Main Street doing some window shopping. See one from the viewpoint of outside of their house photographing them having a meal. On the inside. Those are the more mundane pictures. The last two show the windows of the front windows of his house shattered, the three bodies slumped over table, obvious a lot of gunfire had been put into that living room through the window. And the last thing in there.
Consistent with like a machine gun?
More than one.
Holy cats.
More than one, you think?
Not subtle.
The last thing in the manila envelope is a blank business card. The front of it, printed as like on a typewriter, says, "Help them." And on the back is a 12-digit number.
Phone number?
Give me an instinct roll.
Made
it?
Yep.
12 numbers like this. You're thinking a few things it could be, but the first thing that comes to your mind, bank routing number, account number.
Okay. We'll have to sit there. I'm just like got the business card, you know, tapping it. And I just look around to see if there's anybody watching me.
I'm going to go with your, I like doing like scene wide roles for observation. So I'm going to go with your original observation role, which was pretty good. The guy that was leaning on the car that you were also observing, as you walked by, he gave you a good once over, seemed to dismiss you. Other than that, the cops, the five police officers and the dress blues, as they're passing by, take a good look at everybody that's parked out here. Almost like they're looking for someone. But you ain't him, or you ain't them, and they seem to pass you by.
Well, that's a small sigh of relief.
All right. And I'm going to go to Kim. So, family that may have caused the death of your mother, whole family, right there in the ground. That's puts paid to a small debt in your life. Point in time you probably don't want to think about too much. But what are you thinking about right now?
I'm focusing on that car as well, because of the armor plating. And I'm thinking that he probably has something to do with what happened to the family.
You want to do anything about it? You're not close right now. So like you're making out the gross details. You can make out, you know, you can make out the guy. It is a guy that's out on front of the car. But you really can't make out a lot of details and, you know, to get a good idea of what his face looks like. You want to try and get closer? Is there anything you want to do in particular?
I was actually thinking I might want to split, because with all that armor plating, stuff might get serious pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably what your survival instincts kicking in is that things might, lead might start flying. And so you leave very quickly. All right, we're going to.
One more observation. How are the cops treating Mr. Purple?
They give him a good long look, much like they did you, but he doesn't seem to be someone they're interested in.
Huh. That's not the reaction I was expecting. Does there appear to be any, like, that mutual glance of recognition between them?
Oh, they definitely recognize the man. But apparently he's not who they were looking for.
Wow, that just really murked things up for me. Thank you.
Curiouser and curiouser.
All right.
We're gonna just out of curiosity, what day is it? Day of the week is it?
This is a Monday, so they were killed on a Sunday night.
And we're what, morning or afternoon?
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
Late afternoon, actually.
All right, so I probably could get some time off of work then, probably. For this.
Actually, you probably came down when you were closing up. So, like, this was late in the afternoon.
Okay.
You're only a few hours till sundown, so maybe you cut off a little early.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't notice any cars, so I'm just trying to hail a cab on front of a cemetery.
All right. So I'm going to cut scenes and we're going to say, you know, things happen and we're going to start kind of in media res here. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to start off with you, John. Louis Lamont, it's night, same night.
Yeah.
You are in a foot chase. You're chasing two men down through back alleys. They are very slick customers. They've been managed to avoid you for blocks now. Occasionally, one will turn and fire at you. Very poor shots.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you chasing them?
Oh, because I got to my cousins and was looking around, and these, and I said, well, you know, let's see what's going on. And they were rifling his study. And okay, I said, so you interrupted "Who the hell are them? You?"
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and they took a shot at me, missed, and then they dived out through the big hole in the wall where the window used to be, and they started running, and I went after them.
Okay, so you went to check out the
house,
yeah, and then you interrupted these guys. Okay,
yeah.
You're chasing him down an alley.
Well, down anyways for so far, yeah. I only got movement 26, so you know I have to depend on them stopping and shooting at me for me to catch up to them.
Right. You're running down an alley. This is in the skids, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So that's where
we've been running for a while then, haven't we?
No, actually, he had a fairly nice house, but not in a fairly nice neighborhood.
Mm.
His was in the neighborhood just off the skids. It was actually in one of the littles, they call it, Little Italy. Had a fairly nice house just outside of the skids.
All right, so I'm running down there. They had old fashioned trash cans, which means they had those lids were made out of steel, not aluminum.
Lead lined, a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm running along. They're taking shots at me. I'll just grab one, grab it like a discus, and you know what? I'm going for distance and see if I can peg one of those guys with a trash can lid.
Sure, go for it.
So that would be what, a prowess or a...
Technically anything thrown or shot would be shooting, but prowess makes sense too because that's your athleticness, so we can use prowess.
All right, so I got prowess of 83. All right. Yeah.
All right, so...
See, so that...
Flying through the air, and so... the shooting roll, a 21 is a chest. So you hit him in mid-back.
Yeah.
Knocking the wind out of him. The other guy continues on. This guy mm-hmm. is trying to catch his breath as you catch up to him. And I'm going to cut mm-hmm. there for just a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to go to Randall Sage. Randall, you are holding on for dear life. Fingers, you know, your arms outstretched, fingers gripping the edges of the roof of that same armored Duesenberg that was at the gravesite early in the day. As it's weaving back and forth, trying to shake you from the roof, the only thing saving you from being shot at through the roof is that it's armor plated. Why on earth are you in such a precarious position?
That is a damn good question that I'm asking myself right now.
And you know they tried shooting at you because you heard the shot. Yeah.
He's like, you idiot! It's armored!
The reason I'm on the roof is they were trying to run me down. And the only place I could go was up and over. So that's how I ended up on the roof.
Okay. And,
which means I'm probably facing the rear of the roof of the car. So I'm not sure where they're going. And wow, this is a bad place.
All right. You may either give me a prowess or a strength roll, whichever is better. And you can use your normal for this. Luckily for you, the armor plating slows down the car, so it doesn't really get up to a very fast clip.
Well, prowess is my best. But what I want to try to do is exit via the rear of the car, so that way their momentum carries them away from me. Now give me a chance to find some cover and maybe get my own pistol out and return some love.
Okay, so let's just look at this for a moment. The car is moving. All right, it's going about 20 miles an hour.
That's survivable.
Back and forth, trying to shake you free. So what you're saying is you want to try and roll off the back?
Yes.
Onto the ground, or it's still being on the car?
Good point there. Does this thing have anything like a luggage rack on the back?
It does.
Well, we'll roll off and try to grab the luggage rack, and that, at least that will get me in a better position if I need to exit or return fire.
Sure. And so how this would work, if you're choosing prowess, I mean, you're doing a little bit of acrobatics, a little physicality here. If you chose strength, you're just basically manhandling it to get where you need to go.
We're going with prowess for sure.
All right.
Not the place I want to be. We got a one.
Oh, lucky break. What? Okay.
Yes. No, that it also activates my dumb luck. Break, power, whatever.
Yeah.
So, do you want to run with that or me?
Oh, go ahead. Tell me what happens.
Okay. Almost like I meant to do it. I take that roll, come around to the, latch onto the back of the luggage rack. They see me, and they're both looking at me and not looking at the car in front of them.
All right. And with that roll, you as well, you brace for impact. All right. Lancia. Okay. You have followed, a woman to the skids, and, she has just gotten off of a motorcycle. She's putting her helmet away, and she is walking to a building, looking like she's accessing like a, you know, like these, the double storm doors that go to like a lower level, you know, but you can access on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to that. And, she does a knock on it, kind of, not the, you know, shave and a haircut, two bits kind of thing, but you know, a rhythmic kind of knock. And after a bit, the door opens. There's a lot of light coming out from down there, and she goes in. Why are you following her?
Well, I recognized her from the funeral. She was kind of standing near the car.
Okay. You want to go a little bit more than that and say that she was the person that was in the car that you might have gotten a look at?
Yeah. Yeah. So she looked like she was somehow involved with the car. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So from the description, the there was a guy standing outside. There was a passenger. Maybe you got a good look at the passenger, and this was her.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've tracked your quarry down. She went down into this basement of building. Building looks like it actually is not in use. Like the windows are boarded up, padlocks on the door. But apparently something's going on in there. There's a lot of light, and you actually even heard a little bit of music coming up from downstairs as she went in.
And that might be a target for lockpicking later.
Okay. So what do you do? Do you want to just wait and scope out the area? Do you have something else in mind?
Yeah, I think so. Because if it's a speakeasy type of thing, it might be hard to get into just off the street as a random person. So I want to scope out the rest of the area.
All right. Just so that everybody knows, there's no prohibition in town. Like other places may have prohibition, but the mayor and the city council, booze is legal here.
That still doesn't mean that the people want to be known to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just so you know, booze isn't illegal, but they may be doing other things. All right. So while you're watching, Lancia, there's a screech of tires and a loud crash just down the street.
Oh, that's a sound I recognize.
And that armored vehicle from the funeral earlier in the day has just crashed into the back of a city sanitation vehicle. pretty, since the car was so heavy, a lot of the damage was actually done to the sanitation vehicle, but certainly was enough to bring the car to a very sudden stop. You hear the honking of a horn that doesn't stop. You can see the driver of the car is kind of slumped over the steering wheel, probably depressing the horn that's still going. Out of the passenger side, a man steps out, a little wobbly. You can see he's bleeding a little bit. And he starts coming in your direction, or perhaps the direction of the building that you just saw the woman go into.
Time to hide.
All right. So we're back to Todd. Todd, you braced for impact with that great roll of yours. So you use some of the luggage that was back here to kind of, you know, it still knocked the wind out of you, but you're pretty safe. So when you are able to bring your head up and see what happened, yes, it was suddenly stopped. You see the front end of the car is damaged. It's smashed into the back of a sanitation truck. The horn is stuck on the, just continuing to blare as you see the driver slumped over the steering wheel. Passenger has gotten out and he's looking a little dazed, but he's heading across the street.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity to have that interview I was meaning to have. Using the sound of the horn as cover, I pull out my pistol and run after the dazed passenger. And I'm just going to put my pistol at the back of his neck and say, just hold it right there.
All right. Before that happens, okay. Make me a prowess roll.
Oh, man. You're still trying to do me in. not this time.
All right. You pull your pistol and you're approaching, you know, you're still perfectly, you know, again, you brace for the impact. So while you're bruised a little bit, you're still fine faculty wise. This guy looks like he's a little brain addled. And so he's weaving around. So you draw your pistol and you're about to mouth those words when out of a side alley, a guy comes running, barrels into you. 65 isn't too bad. So you keep hold of your gun, but you're knocked to the ground. As he continues to run and he looks behind him to the guy that's kind of dazed and confused. He says, Lenny, get the lead out, and starts dragging him. And they both kind of go off to a building across the street, huffing and puffing through the alley. comes Louis Lamont as well, who almost steps on you, Randall. So we'll pause there. So your quarry, Louis, just ran into another man, sees someone apparently he knows, and is pulling him bodily across the street.
There was two guys who was chasing after.
Yep, when you knocked one of them out.
Okay, so he's out, and he's back up the alley.
Yep. Unless you wanted to stop and question him, I figured that you did something quick back there, in which we can do a flashback to later, and you continue to follow this guy. So,
so with, your quarry, with trash can in hand, trash can lid in hand.
All right. So you come out of the alley. Now you've got a clear target. You know, he was getting some like the trash dumpsters in between you and him after he saw what you did with that lid before. But now he's out in the open and he's making a beeline for this building, dragging this guy who looks like he's little not right in the head, but on the street,
all right.
There's a guy that's just starting to stand up. He's got a gun in his hand.
Oh, I smack him with the lid.
All right.
It wasn't pointed at you.
You had a gun, Yan. I'm chasing guys who are shooting at me.
What's your movement score?
For it's 2026.
All right. And Randall, what's your movement score?
Character sheet. Where is that?
Attributes.
35. So what was Louis?
26. So you're just that little bit faster than me.
You're just a little faster. So what happens here is go ahead and make a D100 roll. And if you get under your movement, then you can go first.
All right. So both of us or just me?
No, just the person with the highest movement rolls first.
Oh, go ahead, Todd. Yeah. Go, Todd. Roll. Nope.
Oh, no.
No. Matter of fact, something probably unfortuitous happens.
Yeah. maybe your gun goes off.
Oh, and I had the lid up, and it is a steel lid, not an aluminum lid. Maybe it's the right angle.
Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense. This guy was firing at you. Even worse, not only did he have a gun in his hand, he just fired.
But I'm lucky, and it's ricocheted off the lid that was in front of me.
Right.
Where does the bullet go?
It just ricochets off into probably just further down the alley. But so now you get a chance to make a roll.
Bad luck, can I just have that bullet go through a window and make a loud crashing noise?
Yeah, that works.
Just to further alert people and make more trouble.
Sure. So now, Louis, you make a roll against your movement.
Yep, my movement.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. There's only two of you in this confrontation, so you automatically get to take your action first.
Yeah.
So, what do you do?
I'm swinging the lid. I'm swinging the lid to take the gun out of his hand. Okay. So that's that actually falls under one quarter of my prowess. Now, does it? I have prowess of 83. That is 22. That is not under one quarter.
Okay. Because here's how it would work.
No, it is. It's a couple of points above. So it's in the yellow. It's in the yellow band.
Okay. All right, that works. Since you're actually aiming for a particular location, it makes it harder to do. So did you make it by half?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Gun goes flying out of the guy's hand. Now it would be Randall's turn.
Ha. Well, hey, he's big and tough. I'm not.
No, I'm a middleweight, so I'm not that big.
Compared to me, you're big and tough, okay?
Yeah.
I guess I go scrambling for my gun.
Okay, make me a movement roll.
Not even close.
Okay. That's fine. It just means that you didn't reach it this round, but you do go scrambling for it. Lancia, you saw these two guys at the funeral. One of them just tried to take a pot shot out of the one that just came out of the alley. They seem to be scuffling it up. Meanwhile, the two other men have gone to that same, I wish I really knew what those were called, but that sub-basement with a couple of doors. They also do that kind of out-of-rhythm knocking. Doors open and they go inside. Yeah, something like that. What do you do?
Well, I don't really have, gun wise. I don't know if there's really much to do to contribute to that. So,
when they open the door, you hear the sound of music. Sounds like a live band playing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, does she hear the sound of dice?
Too far away for that.
Too far away.
Yeah, it's kind of a low.
Yeah.
I'll just attempt to follow them. Stuff's real out here. I'm going to try to follow them.
All right. You go over to the door. You heard it twice now. Do you want to repeat that rap?
I will attempt to.
Okay. You've heard it twice. What is your instinct score?
79.
Oh, yeah. No problem. You got a pretty good memory. Sure. Door opens. There's a very well-dressed man in a white coat with a black tie, and he looks at how you're dressed.
Well, she's in funeral wear.
Well, she's probably changed at this point. What are you wearing, Kim? Or what is Lancia wearing?
Actually, I can see her still being in the funeral wear. She just went back home and a long day. I don't think she changed.
Okay. What's your appeal score?
It is 52.
Okay. Yeah, guy looks you over and he just kind of shakes his head, but he nods down. And you can definitely, you can smell booze, you can smell cigars. Yeah, you can definitely hear the clattering of dice, poker chips being stacked. Looks like this is a gambling establishment down here.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. I have had a funeral today and it's been a very hard day.
Always glad to take your money, miss. He lets you in. You see the two guys, they haven't gone down into there's a set of stairs that go down. There's a corridor that runs right to left and then straight forward in front of you is it was a basement and it's been gussied up. It's got wood paneling put up. It's got a nice floor put down. There's a bar kind of center stage. It's round, and there's several bartenders slinging out drinks. And then all around are gambling tables. There's poker, dice, a little bit of everything going on. Gambling, by the way, is illegal.
Atlantic City's a few years from now.
The two guys that you were following down went off to the left. You don't see, you don't directly see the woman you were following, but there's a lot of people here, all dressed very well. You know, assuming that your black dress is fashionable, you kind of blend in. I mean, you're definitely the black color is not festive wear. But if the cut is recent enough, you know, you definitely could pass for any of the clientele that you see in here.
Yeah, I see that dress probably being about a year or two old. So,
okay, it's still in style.
Actually, doing a quick, you know, black dress 1930s, they're actually quite stylish.
Mm-hmm.
What's available. So, yeah, especially wearing something that's more, more prim and proper, or, you know. For a funeral, it'd be prim and proper, I guess, right?
It would be. Yeah, no, yeah, nothing too low cut or anything daring. So,
yeah. Yes, the. Yep, anyway.
So we'll cut back to you guys out in the street. So.
Yes, he's reaching for his gun. I'm just going to grab him by the scruff of his neck and just pick him up.
All right. And what is Randall trying to do? You still trying to get for your gun?
First question before we get to that point. Did I start this encounter as my vigilante personality?
Your choice.
In that case, I'm wearing a black domino mask.
Mm. Ah, okay. And how about Louis?
Unfortunately, I'm in that suit I was wearing and slouch cap. You know, okay. So, you know, hey, you look like your standard, you know, I look like a boxer in a suit.
What? Stare you in the faces. Let go, you goon. I was trying to get some information from them.
From who? From those guys? From those goons?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Ones,
the ones from that armored car that's blaring over there?
Yeah. Yeah, set them down. That's a Duesenberg 1929. It looks like it's got a V12 in it. Someone's done some work to it. I bet it's armor plated.
I'll use the time while he's distracted being smart.
I have not let go of you. I never said I let I set you down. I have not let go of you. I look. So who are you? Some folks were shooting at me, and you took a shot at me, and I hope, you know, hope the trash can lid with the definite ricochet mark on it.
That was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have been aiming, you would have been hit.
I look at the trash can lid, look where I was holding it. Okay, yeah. So what you two, what, I forgot his name. What was the lawyer's name again? Who died?
Lamont.
No, his first name. You said it, and I totally lost track of it.
You're right. I did say it. I seem to have not written it down.
I know it was Edith, right? Was the wife?
Is that Deanna? No. Was the wife?
Deanna. Wrong. Yeah. Wrong. Okay, Deanna.
So Deanna Lamont.
Charles. Let's call him Charles. Which we'll find out later. No, it wasn't Charles. It was blah, blah, blah.
Sure. You know him as Charles.
Yeah, yeah. Charles. What you did Charles Lamont?
Nothing. But I was working for Deanna.
He was my cousin. I said, I let go of you now, you know, at this point. So, you know, what's with the New Year's get up?
Says, I'm trying to solve a murder.
Well, there's a guy back there who I, you know, tied him up best I can in his cheap jacket, who took shots at me. And there's, you want to talk to him?
Let me get my pistol.
Yeah, you get your pistol. I'll go back and get him if he's still there.
You guys wrap up your conversation about the time that you
we want to make ourselves scarce.
About the time that Lantia knocks on the door and is let in. So you guys all see her go in, and you do recognize her from the funeral. She was there that day too.
Hey,
she's still wearing the same dress, as a matter of fact.
I'm wearing the same suit. What the hell? Huh. You know that bird?
Can't say that I do.
No offense, Kim. Using local, using slang.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, is he still there tied up in his jacket?
Yeah, he's still out cold.
Yeah, he's smelling salts.
I can see flipping over in my case. No.
Well, I don't want to smack anymore because that ain't going to do him no good. I know a little bit about, you know, I make the little, you know, hand gestures, you know, boom, boom. And yeah, he's out good. Huh. Probably got some brain damage.
Yeah.
My line of work. I'm a boxer. I'm a professional boxer. You out this long, you got a concussion. He must have hit his head in the ground really hard when I smacked him with a trash can lid.
Since it's been raining, is there like a puddle or anything around here?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've dragged a guy by his hair and dip his face in the water and see if that...
Yeah, there you go.
Worked like a charm.
Yeah, I put my arms through his arms and I hold. You want to talk to him?
Yeah. The masked stranger saying Halloween. Spits out a little bit of blood. So I'm envisioning this, Louis. You're behind him, so he actually hadn't got. He hasn't gotten a good look at your face, as far as you know.
Yeah. I got a hold of him, but you know, like I said, I'm looping my arm through his arm, pulling them tight, so he's not going anywhere. You know. Yeah.
So he's facing Randall, who is of course bedecked with his mask.
Yeah. Of course, the other hand has the trash can lid, and I wave it in front of him. Want me to tap him a little bit with this?
No.
See on the melon. It's already blue.
Says, I need to know who put the hit on the Lamont family.
You need to know who put the hit on the Lamont family. Look, hey, I'll cut you both in $50 a piece. Why don't you just, let's just forget about all of this, huh?
Pull out my pistol.
I tap him very gently on the head with the trash can. Yeah! No, very gently, you know, tap, you know. No.
Now, this is where you take the pistol, you stick the barrel in his nostril. This is, you will either remember and tell me, or you'll forget that you ever lived.
Hey! I'm back here. I don't want to be eating his brains. Okay.
I guess we're good vigilante and bad vigilante.
I'm talking about no hit. All right, I got paid. Go through this guy's house. We told her there's nobody there. She'd get paid more. She'd get paid extra. Freaking gorilla behind me there. He's kind of tries to pull his arms free, you know, not getting much of anywhere.
The guy who can snap you in half, you should not call a gorilla.
No, I've been called
much worse. What a gorilla would do.
Tap, tap, ook, ook.
Look, I don't know.
What were you told to look? What were you told to look for?
Guess it won't hurt anything. Hey, if you guys can find it, I'll cut you in on the finder's fee. What did I say? $50 at four? $100. $100 each. Crisp bill. What do you say?
Talk.
You're not telling us anything we want to know.
Look, there's supposed to be a document safe somewhere in that house. Lawyer you know, lawyers keep lots of paperwork, right? I was told to find the safe, bring its contents.
I lean close to his ear and say, who told you?
I ain't got a name, just got a location.
Someone told you.
I got a letter in the mail, put in my post.
Lean back, tap, tap.
Hey, really? Hey, look, left pocket.
We'll fish that out.
It's a letter, no postmark. If he's telling the truth, it would just slid in by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There's
actually back, you know, even from the 30s to the 50s, same day delivery mm-hmm. was possible.
Actually, it's multiple times a day.
Yeah. So,
typewritten note on some really nice paper. Like, it's got a high fiber content paper. Like, this is nice stuff.
Underwood number 23 typewriter from the looks of it. And the paper is, ooh, that's a nice laid paper. That's, you can buy it. You can buy 50 for 25 cents.
Yep. Enclosed $300, another $300 on completion. It describes a lockbox, fireproof lockbox, about the size of a briefcase, likely to be heavy. A lot of the fireproof safes at the time were made fireproof by having it packed in clay. Like the inside was actually clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thick clay walls. Heavy. Yeah. Yeah.
A bunch of documents inside. safe, the box, strong boxes to be delivered intact, as in, you know, not opened. Gives the address of one of those Oriental restaurants down in Chinese Littles.
Hmm.
Chinatown.
Huh. Well, I'll pocket that letter. Good mm-hmm. night.
There's still a couple of $100 left in the envelope, too. Looks like he spent $100. Maybe he paid the other guy that was with him.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. that's a shame. Yeah. Take the envelope and the letter and the money. Good night. And motion with my eyes at the boxer fella to take him out.
He's already been hit in the head once. So I grab him by his jacket, pull it up so it's up over his head, grab his belt, look for anything that's convenient and hang him from some sort of iron, whatchamacallit, in the alleyway.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
like a fire escape or something that's just overhead.
So he can't see anything, and he's sitting there going, ah! Still tied behind his back. So I put my meaty hand on Randall's shoulder. So there was $200 in there, I noticed.
You've got good eyes.
Mm.
Let's go back to my car, and I'll fish out $100. Right. Thank you for your help.
No, we're going back to my cousins.
Still, thank you for your help.
No. Sorry about, you know, smacking you with the trash can.
It happens. I've got another wrist.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That's probably a good place for a scene change.
Yeah.
Yep. The question is, though, before we do have a scene change here. What is your next plan? I mean, both of you still have two men you were following that went into that building over there.
Oh, we're not going into an enemy stronghold.
No. Only a foolish person would go inside the stronghold of some crime lord.
Scene change. All right, so Lancia, you're in. You seem to be blending pretty well. Lots of gambling going around, drinks being plied around. Simple champagne and beer seems to be on the house for those that are gambling. What are you doing?
Well, I still want to look for that lady, but I don't want to look like I'm actually looking for her. So I would probably just sit at a blackjack table or something and just see if I can kind of look around.
Okay. So you're sitting at a blackjack table. Are you playing or are you just kind of egging somebody on that is playing?
No, I would play.
All right. Give me just a simple D100 roll and then give me an instinct roll.
Okay, so that's
nice. You're winning.
Okay, and so the next one is the instinct.
The next one's an instinct roll. Did that make it?
Yes, because that's still okay. 79. So,
how much money were you wagering?
Oh, nothing too exorbitant.
Yeah, just give me an idea of how much money you're risking during the time that you're sitting here, kind of keeping a lookout.
Maybe, I mean, considering the time period, maybe like $2.
Okay, you win 10. This is drawing a little bit of attention, which is not too helpful to you. Several people are coming up, seeing your winning streak, and but you do still catch sight of the woman. She seems to be coming out of that right hand corridor. She's changed. She's in an evening attire now. She seems to have taken time to fix hair and makeup. Looks like a very different person. She was wearing a wig before, because she's now a platinum blonde when she was a brunette before.
Interesting.
And she heads over to the bartending area, the round that's in the middle of the floor, and she takes over for the current bartender. So apparently she works here.
Yes, I will get a drink.
Okay. You head over. What do you order?
Something a little bit. Do they have, I mean, I know the champagne and the beer are on the house, but probably a cocktail since I won some money.
Okay. Yeah, sure. You ask for a little something off the top shelf. And smiles at you, doesn't really get a good look at you until, yeah, there you go, a cosmopolitan. She slings it out, and then she smiles at you, and she looks up, and then her face just kind of loses the color. She recognizes you. You've never met her before, as far as you know, but she recognizes you. This woman's probably maybe late 20s, early 30s. A very athletic. She looks like, you know, I mean, it's really, really actually hard to tell. I mean, she's Caucasian. She's got kind of muddy blue eyes, not bright, you know, they're blue, but not that bright blue. Platinum blonde hair. You really don't recognize her at all, but she does have something that's familiar about her, but you're positive. Other than seeing her in the armored car earlier, that you've never met her, but she knows you. Just the color drains out of her face when she sees you. And you hear her just mutter under her breath, like it was like a reaction. She says, "I'm sorry." And then looks very afraid when she looks at you.
Okay. I just smile at her and ask her how her day has been.
Give me an appeal roll. Okay, good. That comes off exactly how you intended it then. So was that a friendly kind of comment?
Well, yeah, because I don't recognize her.
Uh-huh. Okay, so she seemed, you know, color comes back to her cheeks a little bit. And she seems to get more control of herself. It's just, oh, it's been a rough day. Funeral earlier today. And she kind of looks at your get up. She says, looks like you came from one too.
I was just a friend of the family. It was kind of tragic that their child had to die too, but I just had to pay my respects.
Yeah. Seems like we're at the same funeral. How well did you know the Lamonts? That seems like it's a leading question to you, but it's not casual. She kind of passes it off as casual, but you can kind of tell that she's really just really trying to see how you react.
Oh, I just knew them from years ago. And how did you know them?
I worked for them when I was really young.
Oh, so did a few members of my family. How did you work for them? What was your job?
Hey, Bobby, take over for me for a little bit. And she pours herself a drink, and she kind of nods over to the corner. You know, it's not really a corner, it's a round bar, but to a section that's a little darker, not too many people around.
I follow.
I was a nanny. I knew your mother.
Oh. So that's why that look crossed your face.
Yeah. She looks around and she says, look, they weren't the reason your mother got fired. Actually, Deanna, she never gave the order to have her fired. I kind of kept track of her after she left, and I know what happened. Sorry. But the Lamonts aren't, they're not to blame for that.
Well, what happened?
Well, you know, the family, they've got, what was that banker's name? Stefan, Stephen, something like that. Kind of handled the family's finances, kind of took care of all the things that Mr. Lamont didn't really have time to deal with, and Deanna had no interest in. Well, the groundskeeper, supposedly, I told Stephen Stefan, we'll call him Stefan. I remember his name as being a little on the snotty side. He claims that he was told that your mother was stealing. I know the truth of it, though. Anyway, he's the one who fired her.
But why would he claim she was stealing?
Your mom was a good-looking woman. He had an inappropriate interest, which she didn't return. And, he decided that his ego couldn't handle that rejection, and he fired her. It's not the only life he's ruined.
Yeah, this is just all dawning on her right now.
You know, the
wheels are kind of turning.
Yeah, the Lamonts, they were told that she was caught stealing. Stefan had pictures of it and had confronted her and had released her. You know, Deanna actually tried to get a hold of her a month or two after that to see how she was doing. But she did it through Stefan, asked him to find out where she was living. Of course, he lied, said she'd left town. You know, that bastard's working for the movies now. Yeah, he's like some big shot director. That new movie company that just opened up in town. I don't know how he weaseled himself into that job. He stopped working for the Lamonts. I don't know, 6 months. Maybe a year ago. But look, I just...
That whole mess, I didn't keep track of everybody.
I saw you at the funeral, and I figure you were there to spit on some graves, you know. I wouldn't blame you. I wanted to come out and tell you what really happened, but, you know, my life isn't my own these days. people who own this bar, you know, they pretty much own me too. I wasn't allowed to leave the vehicle, but they did allow me to pay my respects, you know. So, why are you here?
I saw the vehicle too.
Hard to miss, isn't it?
Yes, and it just, I was just curious as to what someone in that kind of vehicle will be doing at the funeral, because I'm not quite sure how the Lamonts died. I just wanted to find out how they died. And
yeah, when you say that, she, you know, she loses color, and she says, "Look, I'm people I work for now are not the nicest people around, right? I know a little bit of what goes on around this town. You have to be blind and not know how bad things are. Things got covered up pretty quick. Look, the Lamonts, they were killed. Contract killing. You know what that means?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Look, I don't know if my employers are the ones who did it, or if my employers are just, maybe they provided the gunman. I don't know. I try not to know these things. Okay.
Somebody
paid to have them killed. I mean, it wasn't just Mr. Lamont either. Somebody paid to have that whole family eradicated.
Yeah, it was probably very personal. But that's good. I'll just leave it at that. You probably shouldn't say much else.
Yeah, I probably said too much, but you needed to know, kid. And she raises her glasses like, "Look, to the Lamonts, they were a good family. I'm glad you know that. Now."
Me too.
Yeah, with that, she drinks to the Lamonts, and she heads back to work.
Yeah, I just for a second, because that's a lot to process. Just kind of sit there blanking, just trying to probably process all that. The part about the accountant type of guy.
All right. Make me an instinct roll while you're sitting there finishing your drink. Did that make it?
I still made it. Yeah, that made it.
All right. The two guys that you also watched come down, they both come back out. They've changed as well. They're both in nice suits. One of them is, you know, his eyes are a little dilated. He's still not walking quite right. Well, they both sit down, though. They order drinks, and you overhear them having a short conversation saying, "Just got the phone call. They didn't get it. Safe still in the house. We're going to have to send some more boys out to the Lamonts and get that thing. All that paperwork's still there somewhere."
Then I should probably be going.
All right. So what do you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking I would head to Lamonts. And just, there was two things. I'm trying to figure out which one. Either get into that house before they do and get the safe, which is really risky, or just see if I can hide somewhere, like in the bushes or something.
Awesome. Okay. Cutscenes. Lamont House.
Well, I will mention, though, that there's a perfectly usable Duesenberg parked outside next to a trash car. Yeah, looks like it's still in operational condition. You just got to move the body out of the front seat.
Yeah, I think a Duesenberg would be a little obvious.
Especially an armored one with a little bit of crumpling to the front.
Mm-hmm. And I looked this up. No police tape until like the 1960s. Mm-hmm. So, but they did use like red and yellow ropes,
yeah,
to block things up. So, but I guess we're inside.
So, yeah, Louis and Randall, you're inside the house. Boards have been hammered up over the front glass.
Well, not when I was here. Or, I went through the, I thought they went through that and I went through that. So that's actually been taken down.
Hmm? Okay. Yeah. That makes sense then. Let's say that they took down one of the,
probably a sheet of plywood inside that.
Yeah. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Take them in. The lights ain't working. You got a torch on you or something?
Pull one out of my bag. Of course.
I've never been to this place. I met Charles at a confirmation with one of my other cousins. But yeah.
I've got a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how big this place is, but if there's a craft room that belonged to Deanna, I want to search there first because she was the one who contacted me. So maybe the safe was in her keeping and not with her husband.
Well, yeah, they had pretty trashed that office looking for it. So,
And they didn't find it.
Yeah. Looking around the house. Last time it was a house this big, I think it was my grandpa. I don't know where you would have a knitting room or sewing room or something like that.
It's a single floor kind of ranch style house. It does have like a basement of sorts where, you know, it's not a, you have to kind of crouch down. It's not a full length.
I'm familiar with that. I grew up in one.
There you go. There is one room that's been set up as like a painting studio. Deanna was a painter.
Oh.
Oils primarily. So you do find that room. And as Mr. Lamont here was saying, the lawyer's office, which took up, you know, two rooms, was in fact completely, you know, upended. Everything was, even the floorboards, somebody took a claw or two and ripped up the floorboards. But yeah, Deanna's room, untouched.
It's probably an unfinished basement. They were smart. Let's go downstairs and look up. Thinking about that, you know, you check this out. I'll go downstairs and look up.
Right?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yep. I'll turn on the basement light if that's still working.
Lights, electrical's been cut. So no lights.
Find the candle because everyone has a
candle and a lantern. No problem.
Yep. Take it on down. And I sort of look where he's going and I'm that way. Basement, look and see. You know, there's like the floor ceiling there is finished or not or something like that.
It is one of the, so like you can see the floorboards, above you. So it has not been, there's no drop ceiling installed. In other words, like, yeah, you can see the pipes running, you can see everything here. You have a crafting skill, don't you?
A mechanical.
You have a mechanical. Okay. That'll work. Give me an instinct roll at full.
All right, so my instincts is 64, so under 64.
Oh, nice. So there is a lot of woodwork that has been shaped around pipes, all the stuff that you would normally see, right?
Oh, and for the listening audience, I just rolled a one.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm going to tell you what you see, and then you can tell me what extra you might find. Mm-hmm. So there's some woodworking done to basically make it so you don't hit your head on a bunch of exposed brass plumbing or copper plumbing, that sort of thing. But right under where you can hear Randall moving around, so you're right underneath Deanna Lamont's painting studio, there is a bit of framing here. Box's shape, about 3 foot by 2 feet. Doesn't look like it was made to cover fitting, but you know, you're noticing that from an experienced eye of like how you would finish off this. And that doesn't look like it would be covering anything that it's supposed to be covering.
Yeah. So, and I'm thinking, okay, it's like a little safe. It's like a really thin safe, but never know.
Okay. So what's your lucky break?
A lucky break. It opens from the bottom, which means I look up, there's a latch, which sort of gives away latch and hinges. Oh, wait, you know, click, click, you know, open it up and it doesn't fall out because it's fastened to the ceiling, into the floorboards.
Huh. Yeah, there's like a metal tray fastened into the floorboards here.
Yeah. I yell up, "Hey, Domino!" I never got a name.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Come on down here. I found the box. And for his, because his special ability is he's extra lucky. He's probably standing right on top of the box when I do that. Yell out. The camera pulls back and goes up through the floorboards, and there he is standing right above the box.
All right, I'm going to cut scenes. And so, Lancia, you're outside of the building. You got here after Louis and Randall went in, but you see their flashlight kind of bobbing around inside. And you do notice that they were the two guys that you saw out in the alleyway earlier tonight and also from the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So before you can decide what to do about that, and you've kind of gotten yourself in the wood line, Lancia, so you're not exposed to anyone from the street side or from the house. The car pulls up. And four armed men come out. Both of them rack back what looks to be full automatic weaponry.
Thompson's.
And they seem to be trying to figure out which house it is. There seems to be an argument between them.
The house with the plywood on the front.
It's obviously the one with the wood up on front of the windows. Well, that one's got wood, too. All right, so
they give these guys automatic weapons.
So what are you doing, Lancia?
Yeah,
but they're so engrossed inside the house, they don't see the guys. Do they?
Well, the car came up actually parked a couple of houses over, and they're trying to figure out which house it is they're supposed to be going to. So yeah, the guys inside didn't notice the headlights, and they haven't heard anything yet.
I am going to warn them.
Right, tell me how that works.
Okay, so I can see them through the window.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You at least see the flashlight moving around as he's heading for the basement.
And so I'm assuming the window's close enough I can just run over and just bang on it.
Yes.
That might be the quickest.
Okay, so you go over. Randall, you're in Deanna's study. Shining the flashlight around when Louis tells you, "Hey, look up or look down." And as you do that, Deanna's studio here has a pretty, it's got like a picture window, long, rectangular, but it's, you know, horizontal instead of vertical. There's a rap on the outside. It's some knocking. Do you say anything, Lancia?
Yeah, I just kind of motion, you know, but.
Okay, yeah, there's a woman outside knocking on the window, kind of making some gestures.
Just kind of mouthing at them, "They're coming, you need to leave. They've got guns. Big guns."
Guns, we understand guns. In more of a really urgent whisper. Grab the case, head out the back door.
You hear the sounds of nails being pulled. As I'm grabbing the case and bracing, you know, I'm literally I'm going to fall, but I'm going to pull that thing out of the floor.
Give me a strength roll. You will undoubtedly pull it out. The strength roll is to see how fast you pull it out.
Well, I got a 70, so let's go. Boosh. 7.
Not a problem. Yeah.
You hear the squeal of nails pulling that thing out of the floor underneath you. Probably fast enough that the floorboards underneath you creak a bit. You're like, ah.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand there and appreciate that handiwork. We're moving to the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Trying not to make too much noise.
Sure. Back door is next to the window of Deanna's study. So you see a woman dressed in dark dress. Actually, you recognize her from the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, no one recognizes me. I have a mask on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first off, click off the flashlight.
You guys can now hear the men just down the street arguing about which house it is.
I'm up there looking the lockbox going, you can see, you know, sitting there with bent nails stick out of the back. So I'm going to have to be careful with it because they're sharp. They're pointy. Going, okay.
The most important question I can think of right now is, where did I park my car?
Where would you have parked the car?
Would you have parked it in front of this place, or would we have parked and walked?
I'm not insane.
Yeah, so you know where we parked?
I would like
right next to us. They park right next to us because that's your other side of your bad break of your luck, isn't
it? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, your car is like down the street. It's parked just parallel to theirs.
Yeah. How good are you at hopping a fence? Because I think we need to do the whole backyard detour here.
Yeah. As long as there ain't no swimming pool on the other side. Of course, that would be out of place in this time period. But yeah.
In this neighborhood, not likely.
Not likely, yeah.
Dogs, maybe.
Yeah. You go with dogs? I look at both of you. Hi, miss. Louis Lamont, hold a hand out.
Hey.
Domino, I point to him. Still ain't told me his name.
I kind of shrug. Domino works.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about that later. We probably have to go. They're going to figure this out eventually.
All right. Let me have the three of you make a movement check.
Ooh, you know, before I go, because I took a candle. I'm sort of going. I still got the candle.
Sure.
Newspaper, anything on the floor or in a trash can?
Really?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, actually, yeah. There's 2 days worth of newspapers built up on the porch.
Well, I'm assuming that's the front
which is
porch.
Four issues because it delivers twice a day.
Yeah, and it's probably a big pile of mail through the mail slot inside.
Mental picture time. I imagine we're in the backyard.
Yeah,
and that's all on the front porch.
Yeah. It's the only way I can get anything is. Paper or something like that. I'm going, looking at the candle going, yeah, nah. Come on, let's go for the fence. So, yeah. I'm the slowest.
Case, everybody give me a movement roll. At full. Just making sure no one makes a bad break. Yeah, 13.
I made it.
Okay. Right, you all exit the area as you hear the guys. You know, they're not even subtle about it. They just kick in the front door and you hear them start taking the place apart. It sounds like they brought some equipment with hammers and
run, pry guys, bars. Run. And I didn't blow the candle out. They're not that stupid.
So you guys make a safe exit. Let's see.
Yeah.
It's rendezvous. Actually, not too far from here is that 24-hour automat.
So what are we going to do? Do you want to grab your car?
Well, I'm going to take my car for sure, and you guys are welcome to come along. But since I just noticed that other car there, I pull out my pistol and start making to shoot the tires.
No.
Don't worry about it being your car. Just find a car, and I'll take care of the rest. We just need a car.
Well, I take mine.
I look at you. Are you good with cars?
Yeah. Let's just.
So am I. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You get the dashboard. I'll just pop the hood and distributor. Okay. Ain't going nowhere.
You guys find a pretty nondescript car on the side of the road and you hotwire it.
No. We're taking his car.
Yeah.
Randall takes his car. Now, are you really going to shoot out their tires?
No.
That's just going to call attention. They're going to hear it.
Yeah. No, I put the pistol like it's obvious these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. I'm a mechanic and she she knows her way around cars. But I know she knows her way around cars. So, yeah.
I didn't know that until right now.
it's real quick to, you know, this Model Ford. Ching, 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 pick these wires up and rewire it, and this thing will just kill itself. Okay, we're good. They ain't going nowhere. I changed the timing.
Sure. Does that mean it won't start till morning?
Unless the guys are all mechanics, they ain't getting. They ain't starting. I hand you the top of the distributor. Like I said, I changed your timing. It doesn't work no more. So drive.
Move.
Yeah. Two-seater or a four-seater?
Four-seater.
Four-seater. I'll get in the back, you know, because I got the big case in my lap.
All right. So you guys take two separate cars.
Are we all going in the same car?
Well, you guys hotwired one, and I think
we didn't hotwire. We killed.
Okay.
Sabotaged.
You sabotaged the one. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I will take off the domino mask because one shouldn't drive while impaired. Recognize me from the funeral, they can.
Yeah, no, because I don't recognize anyone really because I was, you know, people in front of me. You know, So I don't know who you are.
I'll say I do, though. I mean, I recognize you from the funeral.
Okay, but yeah, let's go to the automat, grab a table,
mm-hmm.
and
you hear me pat the box, pat. We gotta open it up.
Can you make it look less obvious that we pulled it out of a wall?
Looking at is this thing mounted on a tray, or are the nails right through the base?
Through the base.
Yeah. So I and I pick a thumb and bend them over very slowly.
So I'm thinking back to that bank account number. Could that have been a combination to a safe?
Could have been.
12 numbers, 6 digits, or 6 digits on a number. You flip it over. Is there a combination?
If there is.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to the automat, grab a table, and mm-hmm. says, just looking at it, everyone says, I think we need to share some information. And I show her the letter about the thugs who were raiding the house. I let them know that, I haven't used her name now. The mother's name, Lamont.
Deanna.
Oh, we're both right. Okay. So I let her know that she had some information for me, but was killed before we could get together on that. Then I pull out, and some mysterious benefactor gave me this.
Oh, the photos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm back there looking over the seat going, Jesus Christ. When you get to the crime scene photos. Yeah.
Oh, you knew them.
They're cousins.
I'm sorry.
Christ. They killed the kid. He was a nice kid. He knew how he was playing baseball. Oh, and you hear me just, and tink. Oh, there's a nail in my hand. Sorry.
Well, so let's see if that series of numbers actually is some kind of combination lock or something. It might not be.
I'll let you guys do that. I'm going to get a number 5 and a number 12.
All right, you're in the automat. It's late enough at night / early enough in the morning that you're actually the only tells in here other than the cooks in the back filling the little trays.
And for some reason, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, Mr. Lee is apparently always here.
The food I'm not a big fan of, but the bottomless coffee is always welcome.
Exactly. The best you can think, you're not sure exactly how the 12 number combination is going to work with, it seems to be a fairly standard combination lock, which would be, you know, one to the right, one to the left, one to the right, and done.
Does my trivial knowledge cover?
Make me an instinct roll.
All right. Yes, it does.
Does it make it by half?
Not by half, no.
Okay. Well, you know for a fact, looking at the number, that it is a bank. It is a bank account number. The first five numbers tell you which bank it belongs to. And you remember reading about them once in a newspaper, but you're not sure which bank it belongs to. But you know that the first five numbers tell you what bank it belongs to.
Yeah, and then the rest is probably account information. Can't tell you which bank. City, unified, whatever. Yeah. Go ahead.
The question is, this is a numbered account?
Well, it's a bank round. Well, banks do transfers via cash reserves and so forth, and they need routing numbers. So you can transfer accounts from one account to another account, which is just having that number. It's probably a savings account. It could be. They could have a checking account, but don't know. But yeah. So anyone here good at picking locks?
Let me try.
Do you have that skill?
Yes, I think, doesn't that come with the hot wiring?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
All right. So you get this at full.
With an instinct or?
No, I don't have my list with me here, but let's call it instinct for now. Because each skill actually tells you what you would be rolling, but I don't have my skill list with me. So
isn't that in the making your characters rule?
I don't break down each skill in there, so it's not in there.
It's probably in in the GM shield thing, which I got buried someplace.
But I'm pretty sure it's instinct because the rest of them don't really fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think when in doubt, use instinct.
Oh, I failed. Well, it's a safe, so that's kind of a slightly different animal than a lock.
Well, you have the lock picking skill actually. So if you doubled your skill, does that make it or fail?
That makes it.
Okay, so it takes a while. You improvise getting you get a glass and you hold it up and you use it like a stethoscope to listen to the tumblers. It takes you a bit, but you do eventually get it.
Meanwhile, we're on to our fourth cup of coffee.
Well, if it's going to take that long, what a slice of pie.
Like I said,
it's strawberry rhubarb tonight.
Yes, that's my favorite.
Number two and number 12, like I said, number two is the in the freezer, I put ice cream pie.
Have you got their menu memorized?
Yep, including those over, including the numbers 125 through 136, but I don't care for Korean food. If you look around, there is no 125, 136. You just have to tell Mr. Lee you want 125 or 120 or do those numbers, and it'll get you the appropriate thing. I tried some of them. They're okay.
Hey, I kind of look at him like, you got hit too many times in the head.
No, I read. I read a lot.
All right, so you've got it open, and inside are lots and lots of file folders and legal pads that have just notes just scribbled everywhere.
Whose handwriting?
Maybe a mix. Not sure.
It all is one hand, though.
Well, I would assume that someone who was female and an artist would have a much more flourish.
Yeah, it's definitely not that. It's more cramped, tiny lettering, but very precise.
Now that sounds like a lawyer.
Yeah. So I grab a file, you grab a file, take a look. What's in the files?
Okay, so over the next several hours and over multiple pieces of pie and lots of coffee.
Mr. Lee sitting down by yourself and having a little talk, but
Yes. You are able to piece together that he was putting together a case to send to the district attorney. And it is a massive conspiracy, starting with the Dawson family and Dawson Consolidated, basically the employer of the town. going all the way up to being connected to the mayor, being connected with Paragon Pictures, and an unknown crime family that has apparently gotten into this area recently. He's got just a lot of question marks around the structure of that, but it looks like he is building. I mean, this is a deep conspiracy, including the police commissioner is in on it. He's got down the names of most of the police force written here. And it looks like he was trying to compile a case to send to the district attorney.
Any notes about him actually telling the district attorney?
It does not look like he's got enough yet that the district attorney could actually prosecute. He was still collecting information.
Other than any correspondence, you know, he had saying, I'm still working on this.
Yes, there is notations that they have been communicating, but those communications are not in here with the paperwork.
No, he didn't keep a carbon. Mm-hmm.
There is repeated references to a drop spot.
Hmm.
Like note to self, add notes on pages 34 and 35, sections B and C at the drop spot Wednesday, the 3rd, you know, things like that. He would write little notes to himself in the margins.
Any indication of banking transactions?
Other than what he's found for the people he's investigating, which apparently he has somehow gotten into some of the accounts for Dawson Consolidated and is showing that the records that they filed for taxes are not adding up to what he has found in accounts.
That sounds like the work of an inside person.
Mm. Yeah. Someone works, Leary works in their accounting.
Wow. Look up. This is dynamite. I mean, it can get us killed.
Yeah. I'm looking up going, jump at Jehoshaphat. It's that time I get in the morning. I got to be at work in 2 hours.
Yep, it's very late in the morning. So actually, we are going to call the game there for the night. We have successfully gotten the game together. Mm-hmm. We have put forth a problem, and whether or not your characters are so inclined to help out the poor, unfortunate family, we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, so we got our clues, and you know, at the very least, we have some that give us lots of money if we were to hand it all. No, that won't work. We know what happens when you try to blackmail a crime lord or a very rich person who basically buys the town councils for breakfast. wouldn't be the first body fished out of the river.
Yeah, I think the only way that this family is going to get any justice is if we deliver it.
Yep.
Pretty much.
We got a bank account. You know anything about finding out what bank that might be?
I think we'll leave it right there. That's a mess for another day.
Yeah, you can feel free to discuss your actions on the G-plus group as to what you want to do next, and that's fine. But we were going, you have successfully gathered everyone together with a little bit of fun.
So only one stray bullet.
Yeah. So,
Louis and Randall meet. So, yeah. So, okay. Yeah.
So everybody go ahead and take 2 points.
I just close that.
Your plot point settings there.
So, or player points, you mean?
Your player points, yep.
So, I got 7 now. I'm also
going to be using the player points for doing things like so the system, you really don't get better at anything. You start as good as you are, and you're considered to be, you know, pretty exceptional people to begin with, and it has no system for improving things. So, I'm going to be using the player points to do that. So, like, let's say, for example, you wanted to hot rod up your car, right? If it's something that you just want for a single session of play, that's just a role to get what you want. And then it'll pan out for the session and that's it. If you want to make something permanent, you spend the plot points to do so. Okay. Or the player points to do so. And so that's how you get permanent items, like a really spiffy car, you know, armor, this is a neat little weapon, whatever you want to do to make it to pulp things up a bit. You can do that. And improving your character, same thing. Like, so if you say your guy is taking a break and you're going to hit the gym and you're trying to improve your strength score, I am going to have a system of using player points to do that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Essentially, it's going to be if you fail a roll, then you got this spend a player point. Player point will allow you to roll a D10. You add that to your score.
Okay. Can we pool our player points for things like cars, like that?
For items, yes.
Okay.
For increasing your character abilities and stats and skills, no.
All right.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you guys wanted to make a spiffy crime-fighting base, or if you wanted to take a tenant and turn it into your lair, for instance. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got to solve our first case.
Yeah.
So did you like that, guys?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. All right. Well, we will put another game on the books, and hopefully we'll be able to get everyone back together, and we'll continue on with our mystery. So.
Yep. So.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah.
Take care. Stay dry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
See y'all next time. I guess I'm saying that to the audience.